Well, this is a bit of a treat for me. We're back with someone I haven't seen for 101 years, Sally Lucas for A Big Talking Travel. How are you?
I am well, and I'm glad to say that I can say I'm well.
That's good.
Because with all the cold weather and everything we've been having, there's a lot of nasty little bugs going around, so I'm pleased to say I'm well.
All right. Now, I know a little later, Sally, you'll be zeroing in on some very particular travel locations through the eye of some certain travellers, but also another big continent we'll look at.
Yeah, South America, what a wonderful continent it is, so diverse. So I'm going to talk about a lovely itinerary. If you're really keen on doing South America, it's a 23-day one that'll give you an in-depth look at some of the most beautiful countries within that continent.
We're going to try and tackle the entire South American continent in 5 or 7 minutes, Sally. So.
No, we're not actually, Mark. We're not going to try and do all of it. But
which is always a tip, isn't it? Don't try and do everything in one travel.
Look, I have had clients in the past who've said to me, look, we want to do South America and we want to go to Chile, we want to go to Peru, we want to go to Brazil, and then we also want to do Antarctica and we want to go for 3 weeks. And I've said, no.
Mm-mm-mm.
I said, Brazil's the same size as Australia. Yeah. And said, a lot of people don't realise that. Yeah. They said, oh, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is.
It's getting that perspective first, isn't it?
It is. And so, no, we're not doing all of South America, Mark, but we will cover a reasonable amount going across the continent anyhow. So, you know, from whether you want to dance the tango in Buenos Aires or go to that wonderful Iguazu Falls, and there's just so much to see and do there. And this is just covering, I guess, some of the highlights for someone who might be their first trip to South America. So this is quite a good one to do. And it starts off with in Buenos Aires, sorry, to start with, and it's just fantastic in itself. I love Buenos Aires. They call it the Paris of the South. And you've got this incredible widest avenue in the world called Number 9 de Julio Avenue. I can't remember how many lanes it is, but it might be about 18 lanes across. So you try crossing that.
Yeah, good luck.
So you've got to make sure you're staying on. If you're staying on one side of Buenos Aires, try and do everything you need on the because you could be waiting a long time to get across the road. But yes, it was founded in the 16th century on the shores of the Rio de la Plata. And Buenos Aires literally translates to fair winds. And it's really a very interesting city. It's a thriving city of about 3 million people. And you've got the wonderful Plaza de Mayo and its buildings there, and the Casa Rosada, which is like the pink house, Rosada. Eva Perón gave a lot of her speeches from there, of course. And then you actually get to go to Recoleta, and it's a wonderful, elegant suburb of Buenos Aires. And it's sort of, that's where the cemetery is. And everything, oh, why would you want to go to a cemetery? But it's the most incredible cemetery. And some of the tombstones and the ornateness. And of course, it is where Eva Perón was laid to rest, and a lot of other famous people. And then you can go to La Boca, which is the Italian district, which was originally set up as a port town when the ships came in, and it was more famous for its prostitutes in the old days. But all the houses, the houses of ill repute, if you like, were all painted in these, and they still are to this day. So you go down there and all the houses are all these bright, beautiful colours, and it's really eclectic, and you have artists hanging around there. It's just a really cool, trendy sort of little area. And then you've also got this theatre, in which I went and had a visit one time I was there, the Colon Theatre. It's got the most incredible acoustics in the world, and they've got a Stradivarius violin even there display in a cabinet. Again, it's the most stunningly beautiful theatre. And then you've got this bookstore, and it's been recognised by National Geographic back in 2019 as the most beautiful bookstore in the world. And it's housed in an old palatial theatre called El Ateneo Gran Splendid Bookstore. And that's just amazing, even though all the books are even in Spanish, but you can just get a coffee table book of beautiful photographs of South America or whatever, and it's all these terraces where you can walk up where it was once, you know, probably the lovely box seats, etc. So it's just the most beautiful store just to wander through. And, of course, the cafes there, they're famous. All the waiters are still male and they're still white with black bow ties and their black trousers and the white aprons. And it's an important position. It's considered, you know, that they stay in that same position for nearly all their life once they're considered a good weight person. Okay. It's a very important role, and it's not like our little cafes here. Like, it's very what's the word I'm trying to say? It's sort of elegant, and really, really beautiful to go to some of the cafes there. And of course, you can go and learn the tango, can't you?
Or we could stay in the cafe with a book.
Yeah, well, not everyone. I think the tango is a pretty complicated bit of dancing, actually. But you can certainly go to lots of these wonderful little dance outfits where the men still sit on one. Oh, we went into one, just a local one, not a show, you know, to watch them. All the men are lined up on one side of the room and all the ladies are on the other. And they go across and bow and ask them for their hand. And it was so beautiful just to watch all this happening.
I'll tell you what, for these blokes, if the answer's a polite no, that's a hell of a walk of shame back across.
Oh, isn't it? I don't think anyone would be game to do that, would they?
But you want to make sure that you've got that killer eye contact across the room before you get up and make that walk,
Say. Exactly. Another lovely area of Buenos Aires is San Telmo, and it's got a lot of cobblestone streets, and you'll often just see a couple practicing the tango and with a crowd around them in the main street. Because music, you know, as you can imagine, in South America and all those Latin American countries, music is their soul. Mm. It's part of them. So everywhere you go, you've got music, which is wonderful, and the theatre that goes with it. Anyway, we've left Buenos Aires now, left that behind, and you head up to that magnificent Iguazu Falls, which straddles the borders of Brazil and Argentina, and it's one of the world's biggest waterfalls. It's got a total of more than 240 individual falls, and I can assure you it is amazing. It really makes the Niagara and the Victoria Falls look tiny.
And there's some perspective for you.
It is. And one of them's called the Devil's Throat. And the thundering water that goes down, it's Garganta del Diablo is their name for it, or the Devil's Throat. And it's the largest of the waterfalls. And to hear and feel the power of that water, it's just unbelievable. And you can go and see it from both sides. After that, heading up to Rio, of course, and it's well known, of course, for Carnivale, as we all know, and the statue of Christ the Redeemer, so you'll get to see all of that. And they take you behind the scenes to see how they prepare for Carnivale and where all the costumes are made, and to get an idea of how much goes on behind the scenes to get Carnivale happening. And, of course, Sugarloaf Mountain, as we said, is where you get those incredible views and the statue of Christ the Redeemer. And after that, you can head across the other side of the country now, and you head off for Lima, the capital of Peru, which is great. And that's a very interesting town as well. It was founded in 1535 by the Spanish conquistador Francisco Pizarro. And it was originally designed to be a showcase of Spanish colonial architecture. And it is. It's got some of the most magnificent buildings and architecture in Lima. Lots to do there. There's lots of museums, lots of history. Stunning coastline as well. So just keep that in mind. It's a very interesting city. And from there, you do the short flight to from Lima to Cusco. Now, it's nestled up high in the Andes, and you've got to remember, you'll feel it, the breathlessness. You've just got to take it really easy when you first get there. Don't start rushing around like a mad Arab. It sits over 3,300 metres above sea level. It is a UNESCO World Heritage City, and it's known as the gateway to both the Sacred Valley and, of course, the famous site of Machu Picchu. So that's where you usually kick off from. And they'll take you from there, though, down into the Sacred Valley and to this local village called Corcor. I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly, but when you look at how it's spelled, it's C-C-O-R-C-C-O-R.
Okay, C-C-O-R, yeah.
Core. You're supposed to roll your R's,
I
think.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Then the other town that I always have had difficulty pronouncing, even when I first went there, and it's quite long, it's Ollantaytambo. Ollantaytambo, if I'm getting it almost right. It's a captivating town, and that's where, if you're going to do the actual trek to Machu Picchu, that's where it starts from. And then you spend some time in the Sacred Valley to lovely villages there. You get up to Machu Picchu by train, which is wonderful. It's a lovely train ride through the Andes. It's absolutely stunning. And, of course, Machu Picchu in itself is just amazing, of course. And you go back to Cusco for a little bit of a brief while and back into Lima, and then you get a chance to go out to the Ballestas Islands, which have the rare endangered Humboldt penguin. But it's a group of islands famous for all their seabirds and sea life as well. So, and then you do a flight, an optional flight, if you wish, over the Nazca Line. So you can see all those incredible geoliths depicting hundreds of figures and such, which you can only see from the air. So that is quite spectacular as well. So this is a 23-day tour. A couple of departures left for this year, and of course they will operate again next year. But a fabulous, if you like, look at the start of some of those South American countries. Just a really interesting itinerary, and it's packed full of, inclusions.
All right, bit of South America there as we continue. We're talking travel. And Sally, sometimes it's always good to check out holidays and travel destinations from the point of view of people with careers in travel, and we've got a couple here. Firstly, from the eye through the lens of a photographer.
Yeah, and you must think, I mean, what a wonderful job to be paid to go around the world and photograph just exotic destinations and wonderful vistas. I just think,
Is that really a job, really?
I know.
I mean, I know that it is.
It is, yeah. I know. But sorry for this gentleman, Richard Lanson. Anyway, I'm sure he has a wonderful job. Now, the first one he talks about is the Bamuru Plains in Northern Territory, which is quite spectacular, of course. And anywhere up there, particularly after the wet season, as I've mentioned to you before, once you get out onto those floodplains or areas, like the beautiful lotuses, the flora, the fauna, the bird life, it's just stunning. And you don't see as many crocs in the wet because they haven't got any riverbanks to lie on to sun on, because they like getting the sun on them. Of course, the rivers, and they're even so high, they're sneakily hiding underneath somewhere.
So it looks like there's none, but they're all in there.
They're all there. They'll all be there, don't you worry. But honestly, you get the most beautiful sunsets as well, and photographs across the plains at the end of the day is just magnificent. That's one of his favourites. The other is the Salisbury Plain on South Georgia Island. And of course, he said that is just remarkable. Of course, you've got 250,000 king penguins there, which is the second largest penguin colony of king penguins. So, I mean, that is just remarkable. And the Lemaire Channel, oh, man, when we sailed into the Lemaire Channel when I did Antarctica all those years ago, I was just blown away by the beauty. And you didn't think you could sail out the end of it because all you could see was ice flow all around you. And you're just carving, you know, away through this 11-kilometre channel. It's only 600 metres wide at its narrowest point, and it's engulfed by steep cliffs on both sides. But the entire 11 kilometres is just spectacular from start to finish, and you've got icebergs and you brush through ice flows. It's just remarkable. His other one is the Lower Zambezi National Park in Zambia, and of course the Lower Zambezi is just wonderful. You get much deeper down into the Zambezi River, into this area, and it's one of the world's greatest rivers, and again, watching the wildlife, and a great way to start a safari drive. And the other one, where my husband's just come home from, is Gokyo Ri in Nepal, where you can do a trek up to the Gokyo Valley, and from there, once you get there, you get this incredible, which he has explained to me, horrible last bit of it. The last part takes anything from 1.5 to 3 hours, and it's only a couple of hundred metres, but it's where you get the best view of Everest in the Himalayan range.
Oh, well, you don't get better than that, do you?
And if it's
pretty good.
Well, when they first got up, it was had the cloud, and they waited a little bit longer, and suddenly the clouds went, and he's got this perfect photo of Everest. Just amazing. Now, this is another lady this time, an ocean cruise captain. She works for a company called Explorer Journeys, who do they've got three ships. One of her favourite destinations is Lisbon in Portugal, and it is. That's a great city there. It's really wonderful. And you've got the old area of downtown, which is all the old dock, the Tower of Belém, which is a famous tower where all your original navigators sailed from, you know, to discover the New World, the Vasco da Gamas and all that. It's really an interesting part there. Her second destination is the Hubbard Glacier in Alaska in the US. Well, you can imagine any of those glaciers once you go through it are just wonderful. And of course, we live in such a more of an arid country. We don't get to see these things. So I think we love going to places like Alaska or the Antarctic, where you're going to see this sort of spectacular ice. And the Amazon River in Brazil, well, that again, a wonderful, magnificent river of the world, again, with so much of the jungle and so much of the wild that you can see there. Sorrento in Italy is one of hers. She just loves that little village on the Amalfi Coast, which I do as well. It's dramatic cliffs, and of course it's the stopping off area to go across to the Isle of Capri, which is lovely. And lastly is Cartagena de Indias in Colombia. The old town of Cartagena is really beautiful, a well-preserved colonial city. And it was the setting for the movie, you know, the old movie The Mission back in the 80s, was it? Was Sean Connery in that or someone? It was about a doctor in the jungle, wasn't it?
Now you got me, yeah. See, that's going to play on our minds, isn't it?
I know. And you'll have to Google that one. Plus, you've got the wonderful spice and colourful ambience of the Caribbean mixed with South American flavour. So, look, there's lots of lovely places in the world. I know everyone will have their favourite and wonderful places to photograph and to enjoy and soak up the culture and the food. And that's the joys of travel, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, and great to see it through the perspective of a couple of different people with careers, yes, who they get to see, yeah, a lot of the world
all
too.
The time. And you think, do they get sick of it? Well, no, they don't, because I guess every time you pull into a port or come somewhere where you've got different weather, different conditions.
There's something different happening.
You never know what you're going to see.
We will check out some of the hot deals as we continue with Talking Travel.
I certainly have. So we were chatting earlier about South America. So there is this lovely itinerary available, which is 23 days with airfares included. So that's always good. You're not having to fight for the airfare as well. It's an all-inclusive package. And as I mentioned on this itinerary, you've got nearly everything's included, even most meals. So you've got two departures this year, October, November, which are filling up fast, but subject to the being available, of course, with vacancies. And next year, you've got February and November next year available if you're still planning ahead. So that'll give you time to do that. And it's a fabulous itinerary if you are thinking of doing South America or getting a start on it at least. Now, there's some lovely cruise discounts still available at the moment. Regent Seven Seas, they're having a really incredible amount of savings, actually, of up to 50% off selected 2025 and 26 voyages to all sorts of destinations, from Alaska to Asia to Europe to the Caribbean. So it's just, again, it's subject to availability and it finishes on the 30th of June. But wow, that's some really great savings to be had there. Also, for you, Mark.
Oh, they're back. We love
them. For you, Mark.
The Hurtigruten.
Hurtigruten, or HX Expeditions, which is sort of taking away from that name. I like the Hurtigruten. But anyway, final call for Antarctica for this year. You can book an ultimate last-minute adventure to that wonderful part of the world. They've got some limited cabins available for Antarctica and the Falklands, as well as just highlights of Antarctica. These are the one of the Falklands and Antarctica is in October, November and early December for highlights of Antarctica. So if you're really lucky, again, it's until sold out, but there's some last-minute vacancies available there. And Paris is always a good idea. Do you know who said that?
Oh, who originally said that? No. No, I've got no idea.
Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah. So this is some Viking. Of course, they've got some lovely cruises and they're doing some incredible voyages that include Paris to the Swiss Alps, or, you know, just doing Paris to Prague, London to Paris, a range of itineraries with Viking, booked by 30 June and savings up to $4,800 per couple available. Scenic Eclipse, those Scenic Cruises, the Newcastle-based company, of course, they've got an ultra luxury all-inclusive Mediterranean itinerary. It goes from Nice back to Nice. It's 11 days departing May 2026 with savings of $5,000 per person. You get a spacious veranda suite, all meals and beverages. You get what they call scenic free choice, which is all these optional free extra trips you can do. They've got wellness facilities, gym, Pilates, yoga studio. Tipping is included and your transfers from if you're arriving by air, which most people are, to get to the vessel. So that's a good one for that. And then also you've got some savings available on Australian holidays as well, on the Outback Spirit that does those wonderful trips all through the Outback Queensland and Outback of the Northern Territory and Western Australia. There's some great discounts still available on those with limited availability, so keep that in mind. And Bunnings have a range of itineraries with airfares included, the same as the South American one we just mentioned, doing like Italy, the Jewels of Dalmatian area, which of course is all around that Croatian area, and also Georgia, Armenia and Azerbaijan, Turkey in depth, Spain, Portugal and Morocco, England, Scotland and Wales. Now, all of their itineraries are airfares included. So that's really, it's really great because you're not having to worry about chasing that airfare to try and match up with the dates of the itinerary that you want to do.
Yeah, that's a huge thing.
And all their trips are small groups as well, which is great. And again, they're an Australian company based in Adelaide. It's nice to support our local companies, I feel, as much as we can, like anything local.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we support local. So, yeah, look, there's lots out there. Enjoy your long weekend, everybody, and stay warm. And, yeah, we'll be back next week, hey?
All right. Thanks, Sally. A great Talking Travel as always. Back next Friday from 1.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.